Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning. Jeremy and Joe with you here on a kind of a football Monday, but the Bills had the bye week. Either way, Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll go to hockey. The Sabres just had a road trip out west. They got a clean sweep, which is nice. We'll talk about it with Paul Hamilton here on WGR. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Paul, did you love the Saturday game was not 10:30 at night for the Sharks?
Thank goodness.
Because awesome. Between the start time being earlier and knowing there was going to be a Joe Thornton ceremony as part of it, I mean, I thought it was a personal gift when I saw that game was so much earlier.
Well, and thank you to the Sharks, right, Paul? Because I think they did the Thornton ceremony. It wasn't like the Thornton ceremony started at 8. I think they did that maybe like an hour before.
Yes,
like Ryan Miller night. The Sabres did that with Ryan Miller night, right? They're like getting your seats at, you know, 6:15 or whatever.
Teams are starting to do that now, do the ceremony earlier. And, yeah, that was great to have a game at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock Pacific time. So it was a early evening or late afternoon game, however you would want to put it. And the Sabres stayed anyway. They didn't fly afterwards, and they flew back yesterday, so they'll get today off and then be back on the ice tomorrow for practice.
Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. So they'll be back home Wednesday, Minnesota, the day before Thanksgiving. Usually a well-attended game, Paul, so that's cool because they're coming in on a win streak. For anyone that's just kind of, you know, waking up like, oh, a three-game win streak on the West Coast, huh? What's to you the big story of how they got that done? Because it's a team that, you know, in previous years, win streaks were hard to come by. Never mind win streaks to get you games over 500 into playoff spots.
Well, they still haven't won four in a row since January of 23, so they're going to have the opportunity to do that again on Wednesday. But they also are facing a team that's one of the best in the National Hockey League right now in the Minnesota Wild. I don't know if people realize how well they actually are playing. They're right behind. Well, they're second in the Central Division because the best team in the National Hockey League is the Winnipeg Jets at 810 points percentage, and the Minnesota Wild are second at 750 with a 13-3-4 record. So, but how are the Sabres doing it? I mean, the Sabres are on a good streak themselves. In their last nine games, they're 7-2, which is second in the NHL behind the first-place team in the Atlantic Division, the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs have an 875 points percentage. The Sabres are 778. But if you look at some of the other numbers, I mean, they've gone from special teams that were in the low 20s, like 27th, 29th in the league. You know, in these nine games, their power play is fourth in the league. Their penalty kill is number one in the league. They are sixth in goal scoring with a 3.56 goals for. So those are the things that if you improve that much on your special teams, you're going to probably have a pretty good record. And that's exactly what the Sabres have done. And as I said, they have the second best record in the National Hockey League during that time frame. And, you know, you look at the standings, too. I think I pointed this out the other day. The teams around Buffalo, you look at a goal differential. I mean, Buffalo's plus four, and the number one wild card, the Rangers, are plus 15. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have dropped out of the playoffs right now because they've only played 19 games, are plus 9. Everybody else is minus. The Boston Bruins right now have the second wild card. They're minus 19. The Pittsburgh Penguins are minus 34. The Canadiens minus 21. Detroit minus 14. Philadelphia minus 13. And that matters too. I mean, when you can get that number up, normally the teams that have a really good goal differential are going to be teams that are, you know, higher up in the standings.
Do you feel like, Paul, out west it was as much a story of goaltending as anything else? Because it felt like all three, not to say that they didn't, I felt like they got some chances on the three-game streak, but maybe not like the most, you know, up and down the ice, dangerous looking game plan. It felt like they got some really good goaltending performances, maybe even in all three games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of what they're doing right now also. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's won five straight games, you know, that he's played in. Reimer, first game as a Sabre, was excellent. And I give him all the credit in the world to stay ready. He had played two games since training camp started. I mean, and they both were for the Ducks. He never got into a preseason game. And to have himself ready like that, to play like that, and really he made that one Dominic Hasek-type save, which I don't think they win the game if that goes in. Because, you know, now that would have made the score 3-1. But, you know, you get energized by a huge save. He does it while he's rolling in the crease, pulls the glove up in the air, does a backhand, and keeps the puck out of. So you get a huge save like that. That just raises the bench. And, you know, now you're not down 3-1. And the Sabres were able to get a couple of goals before the period ended and, you know, wound up leading 3-2 and winning 4-2. So, you know, it's goaltending has absolutely been key. Plus, they've found ways to win without Tage Thompson. They're 4-1. Thompson hasn't played in five of these games, and they're 4-1 without their leading goal scorer.
Paul, you mentioned that save by Reimer. I loved his quote on that. He said, "The pass went across and I blacked out." like he wasn't going to take too much credit for it. Just kind of saying like, "Oh yeah, I don't even know what happened, but I got it." Which is kind of funny, just, you know, his personality there. But you mentioned Thompson. Man, you know, when Tage goes down with an injury, first off, Joe asked this question earlier. Is it strange what's happened with him here, day to day, skating every day? Or do you feel like they're just being extra cautious, which was Joe's theory? Like,
right.
He came back too early last time, and they're not going to feel a need to really rush him back. I mean, every time they win a game, they might feel a little bit better about giving him an extra blow.
Yeah, no, and I think he's completely on board with that, too, because, you know, everybody was last year, what's wrong with Tage? Well, he came back too early, and he can't shoot. That's what's wrong with Tage. And, you know, he realizes it, and it hindered him, and it wasn't getting any better while he was playing. So I think he's definitely, well, I know he did, because I talked to him a week ago before he left, and he had talked about how, yeah, I had a morning skate on Saturday, and here we have a competing practice on Monday. He goes, and I felt it today. But he said the good news is, you know, I got treatment before I came in to talk to you guys, and it feels much better. You know, he goes, it's responding to the treatment. So, you know, he was, like on Saturday when we talked, he was almost, yeah, I'm sure I'll probably be able to play by Wednesday. On Monday, it's like, I'm not sure. You know, now that I've competed in a hard practice, and I'm not so sure type of a thing. So, yeah, I think he's looking at it. If it were a playoff race or a playoff game, and, you know, you put the equipment on and you go. But now, why risk sitting out 2 months or a month when you can sit out X amount of games now and the team's winning, but while you are sitting out, so it's not like they're losing. So you can do that and make sure, and then don't put yourself out for a longer period of time.
I think Lindy had even maybe said that, Paul, that like if I feel like there was a line at some point this week, if this were a playoff game, then he could play. I don't remember, though, if there was about Tage.
They both said that.
Okay.
I want to say it might have been the Philadelphia game.
Okay, right. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So, they both said that. And
so that would make me, like, especially with the 4 days off here, I mean, it would be an educated guess at this point, but, I mean, it probably, does it feel like to you that Wednesday seems likely for him to return?
I think it's a good chance. And Lindy had said during, I think after the Los Angeles game, or maybe just prior to it, that, well, if he doesn't play Friday, he'll play Saturday. And that didn't happen. So, you know, Lindy keeps thinking it's getting very, very close. And obviously, I don't think he's getting worse because he keeps getting back on the ice and practicing. I think he's kind of hit a maybe hit a, well, I'm here. I got to get just a little bit better, and he can't get to the little bit better. Remember Paterka with the concussion. He was practicing, but he wasn't able to get into the games. He had to wait, like, I don't know what it was, three games or whatever it was. And I had wondered in my head, because you know how they do the baseline testing, and maybe his baseline wasn't quite where it had to be. Because if he was having a lot of headaches or anything like that, I don't think he would have been practicing as hard as he was. So he was kind of in the same boat where he was practicing and he kept thinking he could get into the game and he had to wait for whatever reason that was. So there it might be a new philosophy on injuries too. To, you know, let's be careful, because we've had too many guys that have come back early and then they can't play well or they get worse. And maybe it might be a new organizational philosophy on it too.
That might, and Paul, that might come down to some depth, because, you know, I feel like when Don Granato got fired and we talked about putting guys in the press box, he didn't really have too many options to do that. Are the Sabres maybe doing this because they feel a little deeper as an organization? It feels like this year there have been more call-ups than years past, and that can be injury-based, but for a while there, it kind of got stagnant on guys coming up and jumping in the lineup.
Well, what it allowed them to do, and Lindy Ruff wasn't excited he didn't have Thompson, but what he was excited about, it gave him an opportunity to give Yuri Kulik a try at center, who in Rochester was a pretty good winger, but a better centerman. And he wanted to give him an opportunity in the NHL to play center, and so far, so good.
Yeah, did he win every face-off over the weekend, Paul?
But he did. He was very good on face-offs, and he looked good. You could tell Lindy was right. I think he did look better as a centerman as he did. Now, that begs the question, what do you do with him once Thompson comes back? Somebody has to move to wing, or he has to go back to wing. But it gives you an idea moving forward that, you know, maybe he's a guy that you want as a centerman moving forward. You know, when you're thinking of trades, maybe a trade comes up with somebody. It might make you think differently about somebody that, well, maybe we could trade this person because we'd like to get Kulik as a centerman because he's shown us that he plays really well in the center ice position. So it's given them an opportunity to do that, and I know it's something that Lindy wanted to see, and I don't think he's been disappointed at all with what he has seen.
Yeah, 21 wins, 8 losses, by the way, in his last 2 games. So he did win almost every faceoff. The other thing, Paul, that they were pointing out on the broadcast a lot throughout the weekend was that Owen Power was leading all defensemen in even strength points in the whole league. I think Makar passed him this weekend, but he's second. Do you feel like he's having a breakout? Because I haven't thought that way about him. Not to say he hasn't been good or even great this year. Maybe it's just more about his game is kind of quieter at times, if that makes sense. Like, he's not the flashiest player in the world.
He's somebody that, and you're right, Makar has gone by him, 16, Power has 15. He is a guy that Lindy Ruff has been speaking with and working a lot with to try to get him better in all areas. And I think offensively, you could see it in preseason and the start of the year, I mentioned it, that it's obvious that he's trying to get up in the play more and he's trying to become more of the offense. And look at the goal that Zucker scored, the breakaway. Power made a great play to snuff out the rush and bang. Immediately knows where Zucker is, up the ice, and he's got a breakaway. And he winds up scoring the goal, and that was a big goal because that got them going when they were having trouble scoring goals, and they scored 2 goals very quickly. But it was just a good play, not only to defend, but to understand, let's get the puck up quickly, let's get into transition, there's Zucker, let's get him the puck and go. So, you know, people for some reason, they just think he's an awful defensive defenseman. I'm starting to get, why isn't he a forward now? Yeah. Go ahead. That's what I do. I pound my head off the desk when I get that one. But And I think he's better defensively. People didn't realize, for whatever reason, I don't know why, from January 1st on last year, he played very good defense. He improved greatly in his defensive play. Well, I think I do know why, because all I get is he doesn't hit, he doesn't fight, and for some reason there is a faction of fans who that's all they care about, hitting and fighting. And if they don't care about winning, they don't care about scoring goals. They think whoever has the most hits and the most fights wins the hockey game, not whoever has the most goals. Since he's a big guy, but he doesn't hit, he doesn't fight, quite honestly, if he defends very well and, keeps improving defending, I couldn't care less if I ever see him throw a body check. It's just that's not what he was drafted for. That's not why they got him. So, in this town, that's very important to people. And since he doesn't do that, he takes a lot of flack for it.
Paul, I'm going to give you the stat that I found last week that, to me, this is what I need to tell every Sabres fan about. They're in the playoff race now, but how much does it mean? Paul, last year, on December 20th, they were 7 points out of the playoffs. And they finished 7 points out of the playoffs. So December 20th to the end was just like, nothing. It was the same. And part of the point is being in it now does matter, especially when the last month or two of the season, some teams will start to sell off pieces. Like if the Sabres can stay here and just stay in the mix, Detroit did this last year and missed by a point. We've seen the Sabres try to claw their way back. But as it stands right now, this is not the same season of most of these drought years. Most of these drought years are about digging a hole and trying to get out of it. And this team dug a hole in the first, seven games? And they're out of it. They are out of the hole. And this is really where they have to live if they want to end this drought, is right where they are, right here.
Before I get into that, I actually had looked this up for Owen Power. You know who's third in even strength points as defenseman? Bo Byram. He's right. Got 13.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know that either until I was just checking to see if Makar had gone ahead of Power. It's Makar has 16, Power has 15, and Byram has 13. So it's another one where maybe you didn't realize it, but you know what it is, and for a lot of this drought, they've been out of it by Thanksgiving, and it's not necessarily how many points. It could be 7 points. Let's use 7 points as the example. If they're 7 points behind, but they're in ninth place, that's not so bad. Because, all right, you only got one team to catch. If that one team goes in the tank a little bit, you get hot, you can catch them. But when you've got six teams to leapfrog and you're 7 points behind, six teams probably aren't going to go in the tank for you. And it's always been that. They got to leapfrog six teams. They got to leapfrog seven teams. And they now they don't. I mean, we're running in. Thanksgiving is Thursday. And right now, the Buffalo Sabres in points. Now, somebody wanted to, for whatever reason, somebody was really aggravated that, well, if you go points percentage, they're not in third place. They're not in third place. And I said, look, the NHL goes by points. You're right. I said, you're not wrong. But the NHL goes by points. So officially, they are in third place in the Atlantic. And this guy didn't want to hear it. At all.
Listen, I'll come back with, when they're listing the leaders at a golf tournament, it's who's in the clubhouse. Like, they don't say birdie percentage. It's who's in the clubhouse. And then, the teams that might be ahead of them in point percentage have to play games. And you don't just have to give them those points. Stashing your points matters. That's what I would say. Like, I get it, that pace, but they don't go for pace. They go for how many banked points. You're right, Paul. They bank points, and the Sabres have banked points.
Yeah. And actually, they would have, even by points percentage, they would be in the number two wild card. Tampa would be third in the division, and Buffalo would be in the number two wild card in points percentage. And what I tell people, I know a lot of people are telling me this isn't sustainable using numbers. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But every good team goes on a streak that's not sustainable. The Sabres are on one now, maybe. But why can't folks just enjoy it? How long has it been since they're 7-2 in their last nine games? And they're sitting on November 25th in third place in the Atlantic Division, 2 points behind the Stanley Cup champions for second place. So even if it's not sustainable, enjoy it for a little bit, you know? Enjoy it while it's happening. And then when it's not happening anymore, then we'll discuss whatever it is. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it.
Even that, like, things that aren't sustainable, Paul. It wasn't sustainable for their power play to be as bad as it was, so it got a little bit better. And, you know, this stretch they're on right here, winning without Tage, probably not sustainable. The good news is he's going to come back. So, you know, yeah, I'll take it. You're down your best forward and your number one scorer, and you find a way to rattle off a bunch of wins. Like,
yeah,
man,
just enjoy it.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's not going to – they are right. It's not going to last. You're not going to go on a 7-2 clip for the rest of the season. But, you know, enjoy it while it's happening. Enjoy where they are right now. Elliot Friedman did a talked about how since 2005, 2006 – teams that are in the playoffs on Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, 77% of them make the playoffs since 2005, 2006. So if you're not in the playoffs on Thanksgiving, well, you only have a 23% chance of getting in. You have a small chance, but you got a better chance. 77% of the teams on Thanksgiving, because people, I'm also getting, well, the standings don't matter right now. Why are you talking about the standing? Yeah, it's too early.
They matter.
They matter.
If they don't matter, why did Lindy Ruff put them up in the locker room?
Yeah, 2 points in November are worth 2 points in March, are worth 2 points in April. Like, they've got to bank points, and it's been their biggest problem for a decade. So, all right, Paul. Well, good stuff. Home on Wednesday against Minnesota and
gravy boats.
If you can grab me a gravy boat, Paul, yeah. I'd really like one of those gravy boats. It looked pretty sweet.
You want one of the gravy boats, eh?
And JJ Paterky, he's got to start a tradition. He's got to score in this game every year. It's just got, it's how it's got to be, JJ Paterky. So, thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. And that was Eye on the Blue and Gold, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We'll keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. I get the point about point percentage and pace, but, you know, it's convenient right now. The team that's behind would want to say, well, we have at our pace, we should pass you. That's great. You know, you might feel good with three holes left that you'll shoot a better score, but you got to play the three holes, Joe. And if you're Tampa,
yeah,
you got to play those two games. And if you don't get a win, well, guess what? I've got the points banked. So I think the Sabres fans should feel pretty good about where they are right now, especially after they did dig a hole, and now they're not in one. I feel like that's
right.
That's a success. How many times have they gotten out of a hole before New Year's?
And Paul's point there about if you're in a spot by Thanksgiving, you're like 77% to make it. Have they only been in a spot one time this whole drought on Thanksgiving?
I don't even know if they were in a spot on Thanksgiving. Maybe the 10-game.
The 10-game win streak, they definitely would have been.
Maybe.
But is that it?
Now, that said, I believe they are probably in the grouping of teams that are the 23%, because, you know, 77% is probably what? There's 16 teams make the playoffs. 10 of them probably look really good in terms of points, and there's a battle at the bottom. And the Sabres are going to be in this battle at the bottom. Anyway.
By the way, James Reimer on hockeyreference.com has 4 nicknames listed.
Optimus Rhyme.
Optimus Rhyme's the number one. I think everyone knows that one, right? Optimus
okay.
Rhyme.
Optimus Rhyme, yep. How about Jimbo?
There's no way you're getting any of these other three. I don't think. Jimbo is not one of them.
Rhymesy.
No, Rhyme is used in 2 of the nicknames, though.
Rhyme Master.
No.
Rhyme. Jimmy Rhymes.
No.
Rhyming Jim.
Well, I'll give you one that you're never going to get. Number 2 on this is The Statue.
All right.
Has he ever been called the statue?
He will now.
This is Hockey Reference James Reimer nicknames. Busta Rhyme.
Okay. I mean, I should have gotten that one. That's on me.
And then finally, the Rhyme Minister of Defense.
All right.
Amazing.
I mean, you know.
The Rhyme Minister of Defense. Is
Rhyme Minister
fantastic
is very good.
The
Rhyme, I mean, I would just go with the Rhyme Minister.
But it's got of defense.
Yeah.
Although he's not a defenseman. But he's defending.
It's still good. I really should have gotten Busta Rhymes.
I mean,
what's wrong with me? I'm losing my fastball.
He's probably their backup for the year, isn't he?
I guess so.
Last year, he had a .904 save percentage in 25 games for Detroit. Like, for a backup, that was not that bad. I'd have to look at the underlying numbers, but save percentage, he was like a fine backup last year. So,
yeah,
maybe.
803-0550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. Bills bye week. We're back to it this week, of course. Sal get back in town. He was out at the San Jose game. I saw his picture he posted with a bunch of Sabres fans out there in San Jose. They got a chance to see that win. Good stuff. So back to a game week, regular schedule, Bills and Niners Sunday 8:25 Sunday Night Football. We've got a lot of games that matter in between. Tonight's game matters, Ravens-Chargers. Thursday night, Packers host the Dolphins. Good times. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Half a minute, no timeouts. Daniels throws down the sideline for Terry McLaurin. McLaurin is loose. Lightning strikes twice in Washington.
Before anyone on Washington gets too fired up, remember, we've seen a missed PAT already.
Seibert's got to have butterflies here for the tie. Low snap. It is no good. And the worst special teams day in history has a fitting finish.
Washington and Dallas. So quick thing. We always say it's the announcer jinx. Like if Greg Olsen had said, oh, he's made 50 in a row and then he missed, it'd be the announcer jinx. How about saying, hey, quick, just heads up, he could miss it. That seems like the jinx.
Yeah.
No? That's a jinx.
Yeah, that's a I think that's a jinx.
Yeah. I've got a stat of the day for you, among other things.
Had you seen the clip being passed around of the what happened to the Saints like 20 years ago? That was very similar to what happened yesterday to the Commanders.
No, I don't think I did.
It is. I'll tweet it out. It is as it's better. It's even better. It is like
left. Wait. Is this Saints and Panthers?
Saints and Jaguars.
Okay, Jaguars. The Saints get like a end of game weaving back and forth, lateral 30 times, get into the end zone, then miss the extra point.
Exactly. Extra point when extra points were from the 2-yard line.
Yes. Was it Mike Hollis? Who missed it?
John Carney.
John Carney. Okay. Yeah, Mike Hollis is the Jags kicker. John Carney. Yep.
John Carney, and then
I remember that.
Then the play-by-play man. I think the best part of it is
no!
just screaming no when he misses the extra point. But this yesterday was probably second to that.
One thing about that game that is disappointing. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe, talking about the bye week's worth of games on a football Monday. We got robbed of an unbelievable Cowboys conversation that would have followed. Had they blown that game?
Uh huh.
As many times as they nearly did.
Oh, I think I know what you're about. Daniel Jones?
Everything about it. Everything. Mm. I mean, the Cowboys, the stadium might have exploded spontaneously if they had managed to blow that 10-point lead that late, then get a kick return, then get it. I mean, they just had so many chances to blow it, and Washington looked dead multiple times. So we got robbed of that, but, I guess. Daniel Jones. I said we should talk about him quickly as an idea. I got asked over the weekend, is Daniel Jones a better idea than Mitch Trubisky?
Is anybody sure he is a better quarterback than Mitch Trubisky?
No.
Like, that's my thing. Like, it's, guy that's been a starter for a long time is available. He's a better backup. He is. He's a... Anybody trust him having to come into a game?
No.
And that's if I'll give him, he knows the playbook. He's practiced enough. He's comfortable. All of it. I'll give him all of that. Has anyone watched him for 6 years in New York? Like, he's never been a good quarterback.
No, the one thing he is he runs. He's fast.
He does run.
He gives you mobility. And, you're not asking him to do much. The Giants have, one of the worst offensive lines in the league?
And the Bills. That's probably right.
And
that's
the
probably
Bills
right.
Don't. The idea would be, what would he look like? Again, you're hoping he never actually plays.
Right.
If he goes in, does he give you more? What I thought you were going to say is, I thought you were going to snark and say, does he like to golf? Because Josh is going to want a guy to golf with. But of course, I don't think there's really any chance the Bills are making a move at backup quarterback for Daniel Jones.
No.
And if you're Daniel Jones, the reporting is he's going to have options. He wants to go to a contender. And, it's all just like the agent posturing stuff right now. Oh, yeah, as many as 12 teams can add Daniel Jones here. Okay, yeah, sure. I'm sure that's exactly how it's going.
It's weird to me. Like, who does he think he is kind of is in my head? Like, it's amazing he started in the NFL as long as he did. And, is he even a trustable backup? Like, to me, maybe Trubisky is similar to this. So maybe for the Bills it would be more of a conversation. But what would terrify me the most about him is turnovers and getting sacked. which I think if you ever put him in a game would happen. Like, I don't even know if your offense could function. Like, it's happened one time in his entire career that he's been able to keep an offense on track. I don't think the quarterback is, and the running is a good point. Like, he can run. But if I'm just looking for a backup quarterback that can run, like, I feel like Tyler Huntley was out there. Like, I can find my way to that if I really need to. And Trubisky can run a little.
A little.
His career high is 420 yards rushing, which Daniel Jones has topped one time. So, like, he did by a lot. He got to 700.
But I don't have much of an appetite for it. I feel like we should bring it up, and then,
yeah,
like, what, right?
I'm just, it's not enough of an upgrade. Enough of an upgrade for me to think that it's worth it. I don't know what starter, how many starters in the league, if they got cut loose, would it be worth it for? Like, there's probably a few, but I don't think Daniel Jones is, I don't think he's one of them at all.
No. 803-0550, our number, and 1-888-552-550. I do have a couple stats of the day for you. We can save those. Got a Jalen Hurts quote to get to.
I've got a liquor company that I think is doing the dumbest thing or the least believable thing of all time, and it pertains to the National Football League.
Okay. All right. Yeah, tell me that story when we get back.
All right. It's called Crier Ball.
Boy.
It's the dumbest thing. It's not even believable. But they're saying they're doing it, but I don't even think it's believable.
All right.
I'll get you those details.
That's next.
At their own 30, Saquon Barkley as the running back. Big opening. Barkley let loose. Saquon will take it the distance. Touchdown.
Saquon Barkley, big night on Sunday Night Football. You know, Joe, maybe you had a similar experience to me where you're playing against Barkley in fantasy in a couple matchups and you think, like, you know what, maybe he'll have a quiet day. Mm-hmm. And that did not happen. And the good news is not only did he not have a quiet day, but let's say, like, this is actually hypothetical. I don't know, even know what I needed him to do. I need him to get less than 20 and he drops 50 on you or something. Oh, okay. You know, it wasn't close. Not a problem.
Yeah. I did not have to play against him, although I was in a league where on a Sunday night game pretty much over, and like, oh, he needs like 39. Like, come on, he's not going to do that, right? And then he gets 52. So my opponent probably would have been feeling feelings a lot.
So what's this liquor company Crier Ball thing?
I don't think it's – I almost can't believe it's real, and it's the lamest attempt at attention of all time, but I'm going to give it attention here anyway. Because it just doesn't seem feasible. Fireball Whiskey is going to be releasing a limited edition whiskey called Crier Ball that allows fans to drink their rivals' tears. And literally, they are saying that, like, in their release about this, that they've already been to a couple of games, that there are, let me get the exact phrasing here, there will be Fireball tier collector uniforms and ask fans to shed their tears as they leave the stadiums after their tiers loss. They were at Eagles Cowboys on November 10th, Packers Bears on November 17th. They will be at Auburn, Alabama on November 30th. They're making drinks. Okay. They're making whiskey out of fans' tears. I don't believe it, though, because there's no way, one, you're ever going to get a losing fan on the way out crying.
Donating tears.
Like, hey, yeah. Just walking up to somebody who's in tears. Me, like, hey, do you mind if I stick this little, little eye drop thing in your face so that I can take your, like, there's no way this is real.
Yeah, so this weekend, you have Michigan, Ohio State, and Auburn, Alabama. They're going to be collecting tears.
Yeah,
so just to be clear, the concept is Michigan, Ohio State play, Michigan wins, hopefully, and you collect Ohio State fans' tears on the way out and put them into the batch of whiskey to then sell to Michigan fans?
Yeah, pretty much.
See, you think this is the dumbest thing ever, and that's not wrong, but it's also the smartest thing I've ever heard in my
life. Here's more of the release.
You're trying to tell me that a Bills fan would not buy a whiskey bottle that is made with the tears of Chiefs fans in it? I mean, come on.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
They might have like five bottles special edition they sell for $20,000 each. Who knows? But this is obviously ridiculous. ridiculous, and I think that, come on.
The Fireball employees will gather the fluids through the use of sealed jars and tear droppers, which will be sterilized and limited to one use per person for maximum hygiene per Fireball. The jars will then be transported and undergo a months-long process of sterilization and distillation before ultimately becoming Cryerball, which will be ready for the 2025-26 football season.
Listen, all I'm saying is the people, the ad wizards at Fireball that came up with this, when whoever said it in the room said it, they got a no immediately, and then within 20 minutes they said this is the greatest idea of all time, and this man or woman who came up with this probably got 2 months off.
But
like, the best.
But it's a ploy. There's no way this is you can actually execute this.
Why?
There's no way you're getting enough tears for this.
Hold on. In terms
how many,
of the
how many
thing,
fans cry in the first place? Like one of every thousand?
Whatever. You need two tears to go in a bottle and you're fine. Don't let it be lost on you. They do anything to whiskey. There's
how?
There's whiskey and all this where they put it in barrels and they play it Metallica music for a month and then you can drink it and it's Metallica's blackened whiskey.
That can't be right. That's real.
That's real. But Metallica has a whiskey where the whiskey is subject to Metallica's music.
I mean, get out of here. Come on, people believe anything at this point.
I bought it.
Okay, and was there anything different about it, or just you now I get to say my whiskey listened to Metallica?
That's right. Did yours?
I mean, do this with next time I get my takeout, I'm just going to put it in front of Taylor Swift for an hour.
There
you
go.
Taylor Swift chicken parm.
There's also one that they put into barrels and then put it on a boat to be at sea for a year to just slosh around on the ocean. It doesn't matter what you do. You just have to do something interesting, and people will buy it.
How many tears do you need to fill up a bottle of whiskey, though?
You're saying
2 tears. I think you're going to need, like, tens of thousands of tears.
You're the consumer here. You see Chiefs tears from the AFC Championship game 2024, Bills Chiefs bottle, and your question is, I got to know how many tears are in it. What's the right number?
No, but that's
1,000?
I'm saying the bottle will never make it to you because they're never going to get enough tears to fill up the bottle.
They drop 2 tears into 30,000 gallons. They get to claim that there are Chiefs tears in there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's right. That's probably right. It's fake. They're going to sell it.
I'm into it.
I was looking at the list of games, though. I didn't see any Bills.
What fan base's tears?
Dolphins fans, right?
What fan base's tears would you most want to drink?
Dolphins fans.
Dolphins?
Yeah.
It seems like a low bar. Then again, if
but
you try to drink...
we love to hate the Dolphins. And we love to see their misery. Jets fans.
Right. And if you try to drink a Chiefs fan's tears for that game, they'd be like, bro, we got 3 Super Bowls. I don't care. And so, yeah, you'd want somebody that you're really going to, you know, damage with the idea that you're drinking their tears in your whiskey.
Yeah.
All right. I've half convinced you this is a good idea, haven't I?
I'm closer to it. I still think the execution is going to be challenging here.
All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Niners this week. The Niners got hammered with their backup quarterback in. It's the Allen Bowl. Tonight, the Harbaugh Bowl. And Sunday night next week, the Allen Bowl. 2 quarterbacks named Allen wear number 17. Only one can exit with the victory. Prepare yourself for the Allen Bowl. Brandon Allen and Josh Allen. Jeremy and Joe, next hour coming up on WGR.